share it out of here. So God, it's not about anything that I can share, but God's word works. It draws people to himself. So, and that's the way, that's what we need to do this morning. So I'm going to probably a little bit more off my notes than maybe I typically would, but something really stood out that I want to make sure, Clarence, Isaiah 5:20, when Rocky was showing, talking about the cultural issues, Isaiah 5:20, Clarence. And I just thought about some of the teachings that we, okay. Thank God for the guys back there in the sound booth and technology. Isn't this amazing right here? And you think about some of the false teachings out there. And that woe means sorrowful and suffering. But it says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those people that are teaching untruth. Amen. Once again, as I was in my mind when I first got off the phone with Rocky, in my heart over the past couple of weeks as far as just thinking about the battles that we face in life, I just got into looking up the different names in the Bible, and I just thought I would run these down. Clarence, you're not going to have the scripture, but that's okay, because I'll just read it from my notes here, but I just was looking at the many names that Christians are called. So I kind of went through the Bible, and I kind of looked. We're called believers, children of God, bride of Christ, temple of the Holy Spirit, disciples, slaves, students, learners, teachers, and they're all true. But one thing has just really stood out to me with everything going on, and even talking to people with the COVID and everything going on in their families, and there is a spirit of fear across the world. You know, everybody's, you know, this COVID thing has caught people, you know, they don't know what to do, how to do it. But I love this right here, is he says, we're soldiers of Jesus Christ. And that's 2 Timothy 2:1-3, and I'm going to read that. But we're soldiers, man, we fight. I think about, you know, we fight with this right here on our knees every day. When we take time to pray and we pray scripture, I'm telling you, we've already won the battle before we hit out the door every morning. I've literally, and very rare does this happen, I've literally every morning I get down on my knees and pray, just asking God for strength and grace, protection. I've gone run behind in the mornings and got in my car and run back in to get back on my knees. I we're going to have battles every day, but I don't want to leave the house without some prayer and some of God's protection or all of his protection that I can have. So anyway, 2 Timothy verse 2, verses 1 through 3, he says, you therefore, my son, being strong in the grace, man, his grace is so sufficient for us, that in Christ Jesus and the things that you've heard from me among the many witnesses, commit these things to faithful men who you will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And there's no coincidence that we have to be strong in grace if we're going to endure the things that we're going to battle in this lifetime. So as I sit there and, you know, was preparing for the message, take time to pray. That was just in my heart. 1 Thessalonians 5:7. 1 Thessalonians 5:7. That scripture says that we are to pray without ceasing. We're to never stop praying. We're to pray at all times. We're to constantly pray. And I thought about that this morning when I think about prayer. I think about Daniel when he was in the lion's den, where he prayed in the first day, that prayer was answered, but it took 21 days to get back. Maybe this morning it's been 21 years for somebody, and we haven't seen that prayer answered. Peter prayed out there on the water. Jonah prayed in the belly of a whale. Let's see here. Well, I guess the most important person, Jesus, he prayed in the garden and on the cross. So we can pray any place, anytime, anywhere. It doesn't make any difference. 24/7, wherever we go, thank you for safe travel. You know, on your job, just for safety, whatever you're doing, you know, that your light will shine. I mean, we can never stop praying. I try to be mindful in everything that I do. And I can remember the first mission trip. Well, let me go back to, I believe it was Pastor Copeland Church, because Rocky decided to go to prayer groups on a Wednesday night. And, you know, isn't it amazing the most all-knowing, the most all-powerful person in the world that can change anything in an instant, and yet we can be fearful to pray. And I can remember when we went to circles that first night, as we do here, what we were doing before COVID, man, I could just feel that, like, man, just that performance-based, man, you know, this is, I don't like this, you know. But it's funny because people did leave the church, you know, when that happened. And the most important thing other than receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior is we pray. We want his will in our lives. But I can just remember that distinctly when we went to those prayer groups. So years down the road, on the first mission trip that we took to New York, Rocky had taken us into Spanish Harlem. And, you know, it's funny because we were by this little grocery store, and I would see these little oranges coming out the door. I didn't realize kids were rolling them out the door to steal them, you know. But anyway, so during the course of this time, there's this older gentleman that comes up to me, and he literally comes up, and he's, at that time, he was probably maybe late 50s. He grabbed me by the arms, and he said, "Would you pray for me?" And my mind has always gone back, and I'm grateful for the denomination I was brought up in. But if it wouldn't have been for that prayer group, I was at total peace when that guy grabbed me. I may not have known a lot of scriptures, but I knew I could pray for that guy and his family. So prayer was just, it was so important. 1 Timothy 2 and 8. 1 Timothy 2, 8. Did I give you that one, Clarence? No. I'm just going to read the first part of that. I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere. 1 Timothy 2:8. I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere. Luke 18:1. Men ought to always pray and not lose heart. In other words, don't give up. Think about that. I truly believe that's foundational. If we're not staying in prayer, or we're praying once a week or once a month, or we're just not taking the time to pray, I think it's clear right here that we're going to lose heart somewhere. We're going to give up. I think that's clear right there, that we need to constantly stay in prayer. As the enemy, the schemes of darkness, as he tries to, you know, our hearts and our minds, you know, and thinking this morning, you know, about the cross. I mean, when you think about, we all sin. I mean, no matter whether it's years ago or this very day, the fact that we're going to miss that mark and we have the blood of Jesus, not only we just say, "Lord, forgive me," but then he doesn't condemn us. You know, that's put away. The blood of Jesus cleanses us, and then we just move forward. But I think it's important to remember that if we're not daily in prayer, somewhere along the line, we're going to lose heart. And he says to always ought to pray. So let's be mindful of that every day when we get up, throughout the day, even at night, we put our heads down on a pillow just thanking the Lord for that day that he's given us. 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Isn't that amazing? He listens to our prayer. He hears every prayer that we put up. That's amazing. You know, and the amazing thing is he's no respecter of persons. I can remember back in 08 and just talking about praying, Darlene and I, it really didn't make sense, honestly. The housing market was really declining. And for years on the other side of the county out there, I was in one part of the county, and for years we had went down this road and looked at this property. We had even gone further down and looked at a piece of property that years later her parents would actually buy in that area. So it really made no sense for us to entertain building a house. And, you know, we're to be good stewards with our money. So the builder that we met with at this time, he basically said, "Look, I'll build you what you want. And once this house is completed, I will give you X amount of days, and then the house belongs to me. I'm going to put it on the market." Well, remember, the housing market was completely declining. At that time, I had a rental house in Hopewell the property had dropped $40,000 at this time. So Darlene and I, we just decided, we prayed about it. And I said, "Lord, if you want us, we got to sell this house." It was important. I couldn't go into another house, and we didn't want to be mortgage broke, so to speak. And it was necessary for us to sell that house. So we went to the Lord in prayer. We put our plans in motion. When we put the house up for sale, within the first 3 days, we had two contracts on that house. I had a cash offer, and then I had an offer for a little bit less. I say the cash offer, but it was for full price. And the only thing he was asking for was a little bit of closing cost help. But in the natural, that made no sense. I'm praying at a time where my house, really, honestly, it's only the favor and the blessing of God that house sold would have. It might sell for that today in this market. I don't know. If it would, it wouldn't be much more. But you're going back in 08 and a declining market, and God's favor and hand was on that. And certainly the property we live in now, that property has been prayed over. We debate what we want to do in the future, where we want to be. Today's a beautiful day. I love the warm weather. I like to be able to get outside. And I love the change of seasons. I can't say I would want to get out on a snowmobile every day. I would rather walk the sand on the beach. So the most important thing that we do after we receive Jesus is we pray. We always need to be mindful that God doesn't, and even people, I think about this when the Bible talks about us praying for our enemies. That's so important, because that not only does that, things may get worse. I don't have to, if anybody's been a Christian any length of time, I can remember going to Rocky's house. It was a Christmas, and he had given me a concordance within the first 5 or 6 years. I can remember the greatest sense of peace I've ever had. I mean, it's like I was on cloud nine, everything was going my way. But as we know, that's not the gospel. We're going to face hardships and temptations and trials. If he tempted Jesus, we need to speak the word right back to the devil, that we've defeated him, that we're victorious, that we are blessed. And it's so true. This physical body, as we've seen people pass away in the church in the past year, this physical body is going to pass away. I still confess that by his stripes I'm healed. I still confess that I'm going to, that my eyes are going to go brighter and brighter as I age. No, just because we age, I know people's mindset as Christians, when he tells us to choose our words wisely, why are we going to speak negative things over our life as we age? Why can't we do greater things for the Lord? Who says we can? Who says you're not going to be? Our physical strength is not going to be like it was when we're 25 years old, but that doesn't mean we can't be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That doesn't mean we can't ride a bike when we're 80. It doesn't mean we can't walk a mile when we're 80. The mindset of, when I get aged, and I know people's well-meaning, I don't receive that. And, I don't know where my lot will be, whether it's one more minute or one more day, but I got something to look forward to, and I'm looking forward to that. Darling and I, we go back and forth with that too. I'm not a retirement type guy. I say not quit working, but I want to stay active and busy. And if it's, a food truck for the Lord or whatever that may be, I want to keep busy. So number two, trust. Number two, we pray and then we trust the Lord. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we ask of him. And I'll be honest, something stuck out to me that's never caught my attention. You know how God's word is that word petitions. Y'all familiar with petitions when somebody wants to campaign for election? Sometimes it takes weeks and weeks and months to get names on that petition, to get something done, to get your name just on a ballot. It takes petitions. So can you imagine every time that we go to Lord in prayer? And I know Wednesday nights, and I think I would not only be speaking for myself, you can't leave here on a Wednesday night with worship and prayer and say you're not changed. I mean, we kind of have gathered a little bit more up here on stage and worship and prayer. And, every one of us here want to see somebody healed. We want to see our kids set free and delivered. I know so many of us have children here that are not serving God. They know Jesus. They're just not serving him. And if we want to see that happen, we know it's going to happen. It's just, how many people they're going to, the greater the delay, we believe the more people that they're going to be bringing into the fold of the kingdom. So we want to be mindful of that. We trust God. I wrote down, and for me, this is so important, that answer prayer takes time. God, he does heal instantly, and I truly believe that. We never want to limit him in any capacity. When you think about the very man that raised from the dead, he can completely remove that cancer or that COVID. He can completely, you know, you think about the Bible says anxiety in the man of heart causes depression. I seen a guy, a Christian counselor one time, he's secular and cancer, I listened to him in the morning. He said he's never had a patient or has never treated anyone with clinical depression that, and there is a place for medication, okay? We want to be sensitive to those that do need medications. He's never had one client in his 30-year practice when he's got them to read a psalm a day that didn't ease their anxiety. Isn't that amazing? A psalm a day. The most powerful book in the world, and let me say I'm guilty because I don't read enough of it, but I know how many years and the stress it could have saved me and give me the right guidance and prevented me from making wrong decisions. And in some decisions, even when we make them right, they may not go right. But when we're doing it to honor God, you know, God's always going to bring that back around. And he's going to get the glory for it. We're going to get blessed out of it. And most of the time, just like Paul and Silas praying, you know, in the midst of their chains and their circumstances, somebody got set free. And that's what, as Christians, that's our role. You know, everybody, and, you know, I ain't got to tell you, if you're on Facebook, you see so many good things on Facebook. You know, but I never see anybody cutting the grass. I typically don't. Or when I get, they're not washing the laundry. They're not paying bills. You see all the good stuff that's out there in their life. And that's not how it is. And, you know, Jesus, I marvel when I think about Jesus living to be the age of 33 years old. He could live to be, could you imagine if he had lived to be 100? I mean, it's amazing he chose 33 years. And I don't want to ask who the oldest person is here, but, you know, I'll be 59 this year. And, you know, it's only by God's grace that I'm still here. He still has a purpose. You know, I know Bobby back there, he's really old. I'm not going to ask him his age, but it is amazing how he allows us to stay here, you know, the amount of years that he does. But Mark 11, 24. Mark 11, 24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you received, and it will be yours. Whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received, and it will be yours. That's not a name it, claim it prophecy. But when we give to the Lord and tithe and offer, we have a right to claim blessing and favor over our life. That's scriptural. He says, test me in this. So when we're giving to the Lord, hey, we have every right to claim that he'll meet every need. He's going to do it anyway because God is good. But he wants to bless us up and above anything that we could ask or think. And that's just not financials. My richest blessings in my life are my family and my friendships. I mean, I have friendships here that, you know, just think of the people that are outside the church that don't have the friends and family. You know, there's not a person in here right now that's sitting here that wouldn't, maybe Gail, but there's not a person in here if I said, I truly believe, I said, man, I need you to pray with me. They wouldn't take me in private. And we are to go to people and pray. That doesn't mean we share all of our business. We need to be wise who we share our problems with. But it's nice to have a church family. And, you know, I know growing up with Rocky, you know, it's funny, working with him years, it's funny when Rocky come back to the Lord, because I can remember it. It's not like me and Rocky quit being friends. And I mean, I was still doing the worldly stuff, you know. Not that I was a bad kid, you know, you go to a little party here and this and all that. But I do something that stands out when Rocky did give his life back to the Lord was, out of all the people I work with, Rocky had a different spirit. When he committed himself back to the Lord, and I can reflect back on that now and saying, man, because he chose a different path. Now, I will say he probably had a little bit more church in him than I did, for sure. Probably started at an earlier age. And but I made a choice back then. I could have said, you know what, Rocky, where are you going Friday night? To it, you could have sent to church. And I said, well, I'll go with you. I chose not to do that. So I did have a hand in not following the correct path. But when you think about all the people that I work with would have been 25 or 30 or 35, but Rocky had a different spirit. And I really appreciate that so much now looking back. And that's always my prayer. Now, wherever we're at, whatever job we're on, it's not about the job. We're to work. We're not going to do things perfectly, but we are to work with the spirit of excellence. But we're also, you know, we're to pray for everybody. Some people, you know, they don't do their job and they lose their job. That doesn't mean we don't pray for their people. you know, we pray that they would want to do. They should see something about us in our job that they would say, man, you know, maybe they think you go overboard. We always remember we work for God. Anything outside of that, we do need money, but God provides that. We work with the spirit of excellence, and we work unto the Lord. God takes care of the rest. We don't have to worry. We don't have to struggle. And, you know, that's one thing I'll say for me over the years is, man, I try to really, I believe what God says. And I can tell you, I have a brother that probably knows way more scripture than I do. It probably wouldn't even be a comparison. And when I get up here, and of course I've read, I don't have to tell you, if you've come to church for any length of time, when you hear a scripture that somebody says, you say, man, I know that. But then when you go to share it with somebody, man, where'd it go? And, you know, like sometimes up here, there's a million, all these scriptures I'm familiar with, but to sit up here without these notes, they're just not there. And but I'm grateful that I always have the reference book to go back to. So we pray and we trust. And one thing about this God's will, you know, God's will for our lives is that, you know, we do. He wants us to serve Him. He wants us to walk in health. You know, He wants to bless us. You know, that doesn't mean, and there's a lot of false gospel out there that he wants to make you a millionaire. If He does, well, God bless you. I mean, but the important thing is, you know, His will is done in our life, and that's our walk. You know, do I humble myself? You know, if anybody's married here, you know, I don't have to tell you, there's days where you don't see eye to eye. And this is something I don't get right. I'm not going to get up here. I'm not a guy that can lie. Man, humble sometimes being married is not easy. I mean, it's not. And darling, you know, I don't, she gets scared when I talk. I mean, but I don't. I don't like any fake. I don't like any fake gospel, man, because that's not real life. People struggle at times in marriages and in relationships, and you know God can't help us if we're not willing to admit it. And so I want to always be mindful of that. And, you know, this stage up here, you know, the most intimidating thing about this, you know, sharing a message or whatever is just honoring God. It has nothing to do with anything else. You know, I can imagine last Thursday night. I said, well, let's go back. It would have been the 13th. The 12th. I actually started I'm not the best sleeper. I'm not a sound sleeper, but I started a season. I say a season. It was a very bad 4 or 5 night of just no sleep. Friday night, I literally went to work and worked 12 hours, maybe with an hour sleep. And, you know, I confessed the scriptures, and, you know, it is Jesus' will that I get a good night's rest. I'm not, you know, it wasn't this. I had no idea I was speaking today. But, you know, the enemy wants to rob us of sleep. But I just think, okay, Lord, what are you showing me? Thought I don't like this. I don't feel it, but what are you trying to teach me here? But, you know, Jesus suffered like that. Just like He lost rest and sleep. And I think we all can, you know, testify to losing a night's sleep. But, you know, the next day comes up, you thank the Lord for the day, and we move on. So we pray, we trust, and number three, we respond. You know, and I'm going to be honest. I have no idea where the stuff come from. I'll be honest. Thursday night when I sat down, when Rocky called me, I you know, and I just said, okay, Lord, you know, if you've put everybody in this church here for this time, whether it's me up here or you when you leave here today, He's put us here this day, this time, and He, you know, and we're to be about His business. So, you know, I wasn't going to allow, I'm past the point of allowing the enemy to attack my mind. And I wasn't going to let him do it. I said, okay. I said, whatever. I said, you've got to give me something. You're no respecter of persons. You said you're always with me, in me, beside me. You're walking with me. So a lot of this stuff, I can literally honestly say, I have no idea where it come from other than God revealed it to me in the past few hours. And, you know, the enemy wants your time. Yesterday, we had already had a birthday party planned for months ago. And so we had to leave the house. He said we were gone most of yesterday evening, but you know God knew that before the foundation of the world, He knew exactly I would be right here, you would be right here, those that are watching by the internet, and hopefully today, you know, but just hearing the scripture, the earlier scripture, how we respond. Number three, pray, trust, and how we respond. Romans chapter 12, verse 12. We've prayed, we've done our part, we've trusted God, and trusting God doesn't mean that you know, the Bible says in James, we can't be double-minded. You can't say I'm healed and walked out of here. I can acknowledge a backache. I can acknowledge what the doctor's report says, but we stand on what the Word of God says. We walk by faith. If he says we're healed, we have to believe that. If he said he's going to provide, we have to believe that. If he said he's going to walk us through this, we have to believe that. We cannot walk out the door and say, man, what am I going to do on my job tomorrow? I'm going to walk in the door, give to God praise that I have a job and that he's going to use me mightily and all the other stuff can fall by the wayside. It's funny, I told Rocky and I, he couldn't remember the song, but we were here Wednesday night, Lord, maybe you could remember one. Remember he said, man, when I watch the news, I need to come back to this song. Do you remember what it was? I can't remember. Carmel, you remember what that song was? But anyway, it was just a song. I mean, it's fine to stay updated on the news, but we got good news. We got overcoming news. We have the most powerful force in the universe working on our behalf. You know, something that we ought to be mindful and to do the things, just like with the COVID, keep our hands washed and do the things. But, you know, the most important thing we do is just like this right here, this cross that I have on my neck that I got in Israel, life covered by the blood. We apply that every day before we walk out the door. That's the most important protection we'll ever have in this life. No military, no amount of money can do what the blood of Jesus can do with us in our personal life. Respond, Romans 12:12. We rejoice in hope because we're hopeful. Things may get worse and worse, but as Christians, we know our best is yet to come. We're patient in tribulation, and we're to be constant in praying. That should just speak to us. I've said it before. We can't. The Bible says without faith, we cannot please God. Without faith, we cannot please God. And you know something, for me, just over the years of even confessing life over our finances and that God would multiply seed and multiplying just favor and friendships. And, you know, it's all about what I'm expecting. I'm hopeful. In the Lord and everything that we see going on. I hate when I hear people say, we may be at the end. I don't know. That's not my call. But I know I'm hopeful. I've got a reason to be happy. I've got a reason. You know, when you think about prayer, we pray for our needs. We pray for healing. Prayer should never be negative because our God hears our prayers and he answers our prayers according to his will. So those negative prayers, that shouldn't even be... That shouldn't even be in our vocabulary because God is not negative. God is good. He is merciful. He's trusting. So we need to be mindful of that when we're praying, that we're praying with the right spirit and the right attitude for him to answer those prayers. John chapter 17, and I'm just going to touch on this. I'm about to end. I'm not going to read it. Three things kind of stuck out to me, and I just felt for time this morning. I really wanted to get to communion. I just knew coming in this morning, I didn't know if I could get to it. And so we'll do that next week. It'll give us a week to prepare our hearts for what we want to do in God's life and certainly doing it at home. And Darlene and I don't do enough of that. And John chapter 17, verse 1. I'm just going to read a little bit of this here. And there's three things that stood out to me about John 17. And this is important for us. When we go to prayer, we always just want to start with praise and thanksgiving, giving the God glory. But I love this right here because Jesus prays for himself. I mean, prays for himself. 17 verse 1, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you as you have given him authority over all flesh. As you have given him, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. Ain't that amazing? Jesus prayed. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but verses 1 through 5 there, they go to Jesus prayed for himself. That's just so important. We need to make sure that we're praying for ourselves every morning, just for strength, for grace, that God would use us. We always need to be mindful that it's never about us, ever. It's always about what we can do for the Lord. And it's not about works. God's done all the work. He just wants us to serve. And starting in verse 6, it says, Jesus prayed for his disciples. Starting in verse 6 through 19, he prayed for his disciples. And I thought about that, what that meant for me here is just praying for, I mean, we have so many people involved here. We have you guys to go out and share the gospel. We have the sound booth, the worship team, the teachers. We should set aside some time every week or write it down just to pray for the workers we need, the workers we have here. It's a labor of love. And, you know, over the years, just being in church here, I've seen people just, they get tired, you know. But, you know, we are to go to the Lord. He knows when we're weary, and He's willing to help us. We can't just say, I'm burnt out and move on. Well, you know, that doesn't work. You know, we do get tired and battle, and we do need vacations and times away. But we are to be mindful that we need to pray for everybody here that's a helper and a servant, and to be mindful. So, in the third, starting in verse 20, this, he prayed for himself, he prayed for his disciples, and this right here, I'm going to read some of this. Starting in verse 20, John 17, verse 20, current today. I do not pray for these alone, but I also pray for those who will believe in me through their word. Isn't that amazing? Current word today, he's praying for us right here, right now, every day. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, intercession for us, right here, right now. Isn't that amazing? So, if we, as important it is for us to pray, he takes time to pray for. You know, when we think about the concept of God, isn't that hard to believe that he could pray for every human being in the world? You know, that's his will, is that everyone would come to the knowledge of the truth and know him as Lord and Savior. And we know that's, you know, that's not going to happen. And recently somebody come to me, and you know, people want to graft you, and there's a place to talk politics, but they want to get into whether I'm left or I'm right, I'm Jesus. And you know something? One thing about Jesus, there's a heaven and there's a hell. And maybe you're watching this morning and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But I thought about this when she said that to me, is that one day he's going to line people up on his right hand and on his left, and that's scriptural. And we want to make sure that we bring as many people to that right hand as possible. We want to make sure that our kids are saved, regardless of what our kids are doing, what environment they're in, where they're at. It makes no difference, because right now, just like Pam this morning, lives have been touched in Afghanistan and around the world. That they cannot outrun our prayer, and we're going to stand. I don't care if it's the last second. I mean, isn't it amazing? I can send my whole life till I'm 100 years old and accept Jesus Christ on my deathbed, and I go to heaven just like anybody else who served God their whole life. Man, I mean, that's, I don't need to understand that. And for people that don't understand grace, and we'll never just out of heaven understand how much God loves us. So for this morning, I don't know if there's anybody here or anybody that's streaming and they're not for sure where they stand with God, with guys today. All you have to do is say, Lord, I've sinned. Lord, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Lord, and I don't want to leave this earth knowing that I might have to suffer an eternity in hell. I don't understand it. I don't comprehend it. I just believe you as Lord and Savior. Forgive my sins. I belong to you. It's just amazing. See, worship team can come on back up this morning.